Welcome to this episode of Naked Men Talking, a podcast exploring naturism and the power of getting your clothes off. I'm Gareth Johnson. On today's episode, we're joined by Kaylin Strauss, a coach, author, and spirit guide. Kaylin, welcome.
Hey, it's so nice to be here.
Now, you describe your work as spiritual coaching, and I was wondering, what are people looking to explore when they come to you for spiritual coaching?
Well, very much as we're talking about this idea of accepting your body, exploring life nakedly, part of the fun of that for me is this idea of learning to be at home with yourself. And so I think a lot of people who come to work with me one-on-one are in search of that, a search for internal belonging, a sense of being at home within, a sense of cultivating joy and wonderment and ecstasy and more pleasure in life, and to see the world with wonderment. Yeah, so nudity isn't something necessarily that is a focus in what we work on together. But it is part of it. It is that part of idea, being fully exposed, opening up to your full self and allowing yourself to be as you are.
What do you think are some of the barriers that stop people from getting to that point? What are some of the things you're trying to navigate through in terms of that self-acceptance, that being at home in your own body? Is that kind of trauma responses that you're trying to address?
Well, I think that's a huge part of it, absolutely. I tend to use more the word tension rather than trauma. I think trauma is a word that we overuse a lot in today's world. You hear people say, oh, that person said something unkind to me on the street, and what a traumatic event that was. And I try to reserve trauma for, like, you know, my children were murdered in front of me. Like, yeah, right? Like real stuff. But yes, it does come from tension. It does. And as a more yogic person, I tend to believe that the tension may be in previous incarnations as well. But from the time that we're little, absolutely, we are told that our bodies are something that need to be hidden, something that's negative, something that needs to be covered at all times. If you identify as being queer or gender atypical, you're told that there's something wrong with you. You're told that you're bad for being the way you are. Even if it's something as simple as, you know, being a sensitive guy, you're told that that's wrong, that that's manly. And all those tensions start to build up, and we start to learn from an early age that being me is not okay. Being me is not going to let me have a fruitful, happy, healthy, productive life. And so I need to become a kind of person that society and my parents and my third grade science teacher are going to approve of and respect. And little by little, we disconnect from ourselves. We become disembodied. And then I think we spend the rest of our lives then in the search of, how do I come back to being my authentic self? How do I come back to my body? How do I come back to living a life that is aligned with my values and my joy and my authenticity, rather than through these external ideas, these external marks of validation, these external marks of approval? And I think that becomes the journey of a lifetime to rediscover that.
Speaking of journeys, what's your journey been like to sort of bring you to this work? You mentioned yoga there. Is this sort of stuff grounded in that sort of yogic principles and meditation, that kind of field?
So that has been a huge part of my journey. When I was in college, I got into yoga and meditation at a very deep level. I ended up taking a guru. I moved into an ashram for 7 years. So
we're talking serious yoga.
Yeah, serious yogi. And there definitely was where I was introduced to this idea of non-duality, this idea that everything is perfect, everything is sacred, all of our parts are beautiful and an expression of the divine. Now, unfortunately, yogic traditions oftentimes kind of stop at a certain level. Like, they aren't always that accepting of sex and sexuality. They aren't always that accepting of body positivity, although there are certain traditions that do. But it was after I kind of left that whole ashram experience that I really then tried to take it to the next level and started to say, well, if we're going to talk the talk, we better walk the walk. If we're going to say that we can find the divine in everything and we see everything as a manifestation of cosmic consciousness, then that must apply to all parts of me, including my naked bits, including my sexual bits, including the societally taboo bits. And if we can find joy, peace, love, consciousness, whatever you want to call it, all those higher qualities in everything, no matter where I go, no matter what I do, if I can find peace, love, and joy there, then I've figured out the puzzle. Then I've won the game, because that means that I can thrive anywhere.
Code.
Exactly.
But you said that not all of your work has to be done naked, but most of it is. And that sort of embracing of your naked self has been a big part of it. What was your relationship with your body like when you were growing up? Have you always been comfortable in sort of getting your clothes off with other people? How's that sort of been for you?
God, no, no, no. So when I was a little kid, I was on the swim team.
You have swim team shoulders.
Oh, thank you, thank you. I have a rib cage condition called pectus excavatum, so it means my rib cage curves inwards at the chest. And as a 10-year-old swimming, the other kids are brutal. They constantly make fun of you and like, why do you have a hole in your chest? And then being somebody who was always super skinny and super gangly and super uncoordinated, like my body was not a safe place. And then as I became aware that I was same sex attracted, it definitely became not a safe space. And so into my early 20s, I was terrified to take my shirt off in public. Like I can remember in my early 20s, I was working as an actor in Chicago and I had to go on a modeling call for American Crew hair products and they had everyone stripped down to their underwear. And I remember
For the hair
shaking
product,
for the
obviously.
hair product, exactly. For the hair product. I remember viscerally shaking and like having a minor panic attack over like having to get down to my skivvies. And things started to shift for me when probably around like age 24 or 25, I had nearby in Chicago a Korean spa. And at Korean spas, you have to be naked in the wet areas. And it was my first time having that experience of being socially naked and just realizing like how healing it was for me. It made me feel so much better about myself. It made me feel more at ease with myself. It made me feel more connected with other people. I went with one of my good high school friends. We had known each other for like at least a decade at this point, and we suddenly felt closer and more bonded after sharing naked time together. And it was really this was right before I started my coming out journey. So like learning to be naked with other people in a non-sexual setting let me start to be more comfortable than to get explored nudity in a sexual setting with romantic partners and sexual partners. But it was very much a long journey. And I'll be honest, like even going to bed without clothes on would be so titillating and overstimulating that like it's still something I don't do a lot just because my body still has this tension
Oh,
response when being
wow.
younger around, oh, if you're naked, it doesn't necessarily feel safe. So it's yeah, it's something I have gone on a huge process with. If you had told me when I was 22 that one day I'd be showing up naked all over the internet, I would have thought you were absolutely insane.
But here we are.
Here we are.
So that Korean spa experience was fairly formative. But would you describe yourself as a naturist these days? Are you exploring social naturism in that sense, or is it more sort of aligned to the work you're doing and the body positivity sort of message you put out there?
I love getting to be in social naked experiences. And my favorite place to be naked, though, is in nature. Like for me, that idea of forest bathing and being part of the natural world is so healing and so corrective for me. I think there is nothing more joyful than swimming naked. It is something that I wish I got to do every day. That for me is a really profound experience. I have enjoyed going to naked parties. I still go to the Korean spa. I will say that as your body changes, it's interesting to watch how people respond differently to your body. And that can be either a positive response, a negative response. I will say, as I've developed my physicality more and became more muscular, naked spaces have actually started to feel less safe for me. And because suddenly I feel sexualized in a way that I didn't necessarily intend to be. And I sometimes get objectified in a way that doesn't feel as comfortable. And it's something me and my husband actually talk a lot about is he went to go visit his parents not that long ago, and he was just wearing a tank top around the house. And my husband's really buff. And his parents said, "You need to go put clothes on. You're making us uncomfortable." And it was this idea that, if you have a body that isn't necessarily, more fitness oriented, nudity isn't necessarily going to sexualize you. It's just more of a revealing experience. But if you've cultivated a certain type of body, suddenly people view you as a sexual object. And then it doesn't feel as welcoming or as safe when Everybody's interacting with you or looking at you in a certain way, and it feels
Oh,
such a bit
that's
a little
interesting.
basic.
I hadn't really thought of that before. Is it a bit like you've built a pawn body so people just assume you're pawn somehow?
Yeah, exactly.
Ah. Well, is there any aspect of exhibitionism to the way that you present yourself to the world, though? Because you have that acting background, that performer's background, you put yourself out there in a very visible way. But is that linked to exhibitionism at all?
Oh, absolutely. I remember as a young person, I was horrendously bullied for most of my childhood, to the point that I'm shocked I made it to adulthood. It was that bad. And I learned at a young age to be seen is dangerous. To be seen means people will hurt you verbally, emotionally, physically.
Yeah, you're inviting attention by putting yourself out there somehow. Yeah.
Correct. And so the best thing that you can do is to hide. Now, strange, having learned that lesson, that then I started to pursue acting as a career because it's the complete opposite, right? Like you're quite literally in the spotlight. And it was a very uncomfortable place for me. But as I continued on my healing journey, we put ourselves in the situations that we need to learn and grow. I started to realize that part of it for me was learning that being seen can be a safe space. Being seen is actually a powerful space, and that vulnerability can actually be a strength. And that one of the greatest joys in life is allowing yourself to be seen by another person and seeing somebody else. And I am a big believer that the human body is something beautiful and sacred. You go back to ancient Greece, clothing was an accessory. Like you might walk out the house with just a piece of fabric draped over your arm and you're dressed to go. It wasn't something to cover you, it was something to accessorize you. And that's kind of the space that I want to get back into is saying, hey, I love my body. I'm very proud of my body. I feel beautiful in my body. And I'm enjoying learning to be seen. I'm enjoying having people witness me, whether that's fully just naked and there's nothing sexual or being in a sexual environment to being appreciated. But then there comes that flip side of it that we just talked about, which is then those moments where I
Yeah.
don't want to be sexualized or don't
Don't
want to be
touch me. Just
objectified.
appreciate me.
Yeah, where we get it. Yeah. So it's an interesting line to walk, especially in today's culture where nudity equals sex. There is very little we see in the media, in social media, certainly, in the public spaces where nudity is just something we explore together. We're not Germany. We don't have communal bathhouses that are co-ed and everyone goes as a family. We aren't. Paris has their own naturist park within the city limits. I can only imagine how Fox News would just run clips day and night for months about this naturist park in a major US city
Yeah,
and how
we don't
it's
have to
ruining
imagine. We know
civilization.
exactly how that would go.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting dilemma or conversation almost, isn't it? Because traditional naturism has always been a sort of a non-sexual space in that sense. It's been, it's commune with nature, the body is beautiful kind of thing. So it's not every naturism space is sexualized. But I do kind of find, and this is just me talking personally, but there's a more of a gray area when it's gay men kind of thing, just because
Oh, yeah.
we're automatically associating sexual energy with being naked with other men kind of thing.
Yeah, I think I have not really witnessed a queer masculine naked space that is fully desexualized. And I think that's part of the paradigm we operate in as queer men. I've written a couple books, and my second book is a fantasy novel. And I made the mistake of letting largely lesbian readers read it first and write reviews. And they did
Right.
not
Was that
like
your
it.
target audience?
No, I didn't know. I didn't know that when you post something as queer fiction online, that it was all going to be lesbians who read it. I had no idea. And one of the major critiques was every character that the protagonist meets, he's assessing as how attractive they are or how sexually viable they are. And that's so terrible and unrealistic. And I'm like, have you walked into a room of gay men? Every person who walks in the room, you're judging and assessing as to their sexual viability. Like, that's how we operate.
Can we talk about your penis?
I would love to. It's a wonderful topic of conversation.
Because you've shared your personal journey with your penis fairly openly and
Yeah.
extensively, and I was just sort of interested in where you're at with that now.
Yeah. So for anyone listening here who doesn't quite know, I as my late teenager started getting really interested in the idea of penis enlargement as something to actually pursue. But it was something that fascinated me from the time I started exploring sexual ideations, when I first started to explore my sexuality as a young person who felt so emasculated and so devalued by my peer group. My biggest turn on was always to imagine myself as being hyper masculine. What would it be like if I had huge muscles and a giant cock? And that was, and in many ways still is, one of my biggest sexual fantasies. It's like, what would it be like to be this like giant 300-pound muscle stud with a cock slapping his knees? That turns me on. And so as a young person, that was something that really drew on me, really pulled on me. And upon reflection, it makes a lot of sense. When you are constantly being bullied and when you're constantly told you're not man enough, you're not properly male because you're queer, like to want to pursue the external trappings of masculinity is very appealing. And then add in an addition too, our society gives value to men who present in hyper-masculine ways. Like you can't get through, a couple hours of TV without somebody making a reference to big dick energy or how much value this guy has for having a big swinging cock, and how guys who present as more muscular, more masculine, are more valued. Like you go to a gay bar and you see a guy just even wearing like a baseball cap, they'll objectively be rated as more attractive just because they're presenting in more traditionally masculinized tropes. And this is something that I consciously work on and I'm aware of and try to, combat these learned perceptions of what is masculinity. But for me, that idea of presenting in a more masculine way, A, turns me on, and B, also makes me feel more safe. It makes me feel like I'm more protected, and it makes me feel like I have greater value in society and for myself. So in my early 20s, like teen years, I started to get really interested in exploring penis enlargement techniques and got into pumping and extending and weight hanging. I think I even got up to like hanging like 35 pounds off my dick at one point.
Ouch.
I look back on that, it was intense. And people do it. I still browse forums where people talk about doing it and submit their photos of hanging gargantuan weights off their member. And so I did that for many years. And it just reached a point for me where I knew that it was something that I had tried to let go of time and time again, and it always came back. I'm always like, well, I need to be bigger. I need that feeling of power. I need that feeling of safety. And so after several years of doing that, I ended up making the decision to have some minor surgical augmentation to make it even bigger. And one of the benefits of doing that is if you undergo that particular procedure, you aren't allowed to do any pumping or extending or any of those exercises anymore. So then it kind
Oh,
of
it's a
like,
hard end on that sort of stuff,
so then it like
which
forced.
psychologically could be useful to say that is now a closed door.
Exactly. So that was actually my biggest reason for doing it, which was like, okay, I'm done. And then the other side of thing too is like it did give me the feeling of confidence with my size that I can walk into most spaces and never feel like someone's going to. And I know this sounds horrible, but it's kind of like that deep operating paradigm on our in our subconscious, but that no one's going to question my masculinity.
It's slightly contradictory with the work that you do almost in the very much about being authentic in yourself and loving your body, and yet you had this whole dysmorphia almost around what your body looked like.
Well, I'm a big believer in something, and this isn't just to do with bodies, it's just something in general, that if something is true, so often is its opposite. And that part of being a mature human being is being able to hold duality, hold polarity, and realize the contradictions that yes, you are complete and perfect within yourself, and also you have room to grow. And that's something I really try to stress with everyone I work with and in my YouTube videos and everything is okay, so I might create a YouTube video like this week, for example, I'm working on one that's about body positivity, right? Loving the skin you're in, learning to appreciate where you are. That does not mean I can't at the same time then also pursue things that make me feel better about my body. Like body positivity doesn't mean, okay, great, well, I'm just gonna, grab a bag of potato chips and curl up on the couch all night, and I should just learn to love myself no matter what I look like. There's also this flip side of I also want to enjoy what I see in the mirror. And so that's the fine line like I really try to walk. And I'm on my own healing journey. I haven't figured all this shit out, but I know for myself, like, yeah, okay, I've invested a lot of time and energy in changing my body into something I like. But I can genuinely say I look in the mirror and like what I see reflected back at me. And I turn myself on and I feel beautiful and sexy. And I think the issue is when people say, oh, I hate how I look, I don't feel comfortable in my body. Let me go have cosmetic surgery. And they go do that. But at the same time, they're not doing internal work. They're not learning internal satisfaction. They're not learning to appreciate where they are. And so they go have a BBL. And they turn around and they're like, well, I'm still not happy. I still don't like it. I still don't love
Yeah,
it. And
because the problem's coming from inside the house, isn't it?
So it's, I'm never against people making external changes in their life. It's like similar when I have somebody who comes to me and they're in a toxic relationship and they're like, well, shouldn't me finding acceptance with where I am just mean that I can thrive anywhere and that I can survive this really difficult environment? Like maybe. But also that might mean making different choices and putting yourself in a situation where you feel like you can thrive. And so, yeah, I've made these choices with my body, but like I genuinely feel better for it. And so for me, I feel like that's how we should ideally approach everything in life, is find acceptance, joy, and gratitude for where you are, and at the same time, work to make meaningful change. And I feel like you see people in the spiritual community who aren't good at this. Like you see people who are very like living very meager, poor lives because financially poor, because they say, well, if I'm spiritual, then I shouldn't care about money. And please, yes, don't think that money is the be all and end all, but it doesn't mean that because you're embracing your spirit and that you are not investing in the illusion of this world being this total encompassing reality, doesn't mean that you can't also enjoy your life. Like, how do you find the yin and the yang? How do you find both sides of the polarity and say, you know, I can be this embodied gay himbo who puts on short shorts with his dick hanging out and goes and, you know, dances at Pride, and at the same time be a deeply spiritual being who realizes he's not his body, he's not this mind, that this is just a vessel I'm walking around in? It's like you've been given this body. Do what you want with it. Have fun with it.
Yeah, it's a nuanced conversation though, isn't it? Can I talk a little bit more about the kink of modification in a way? Because you talked about how, you know, that big penis fantasy was a turn on for you. And I interviewed a guy the other day who is really into, you know, big penis modification, silicone injections kind of things. And there's like an event coming up in Palm Springs called Mr. Meetup or whatever, where, you know, which is a celebration of that. And I was wondering, is that a side of things that you've explored at all in terms of connecting with other people with that sort of modification kink?
A little bit. I mean, I definitely have some acquaintances who also enjoy growth fantasies and celebrating that. And I do appreciate using the word kink because I believe we've, you know, especially as queer culture, have embraced this idea of not kink shaming and like letting people celebrate what turns them on. For me, I haven't connected with a lot of people who have pursued that particular route with silicone modifications, and largely because I have my own fear about it. Like I know the stories of people who have died from doing that. You know, aesthetically, it looks very different. You know, it's a very different aesthetic.
Yeah, the results of what you get with silicon is quite different to what you've got in with what you've done. So, yeah.
You know, and that's it's you know, I don't have any sort of concrete views on this, but like when I look at people who have cosmetic work done, the best cosmetic work is the work that you don't realize that somebody did, right? Like they just look great. They just look like a better version of themselves. They look well rested or whatever. And I'm not opposed to people, you know, like if a doctor came to me and said, hey, you can have this gorgeous 14-inch cock that's fully functional and it's exactly like your penis, only bigger, and it works the same way, I'd be like, fuck yeah, sign me up. Great, let's do it. But to do something where I don't feel like it looks like me, and it doesn't feel to me like a natural extension of, you know, like, oh, did this person have something done? I can't really tell. Like, it looks something very foreign. I totally get the psychology around it, and I totally celebrate people who find joy in that. For me, it's just something I haven't wanted to personally explore.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Okay, I guess my final question is, if someone was interested in figuring out how to live a more authentic life, what advice or guidance would you give them?
Introspection, I think, is the key. One of the things I really encourage people to sit with is this idea of, what am I doing because it's aligned with my intrinsic values, what brings me joy? And what am I doing because of extrinsic pressure, external pressure, those things that society, my family, my mentors told me I needed to be? And this isn't an easy and this isn't a fast question to unravel because it's so layered and it's so embedded into our upbringing. But to really start to turn within and ask, am I doing this because it makes me happy? Or am I doing this because I'm supposed to do it? And as we start to untie those knots, those internal ribbons that we've bound together that say you ought to be and you need to be, and I've taken this on as my truth because it's been repeated so many times by so many authority figures, like, oh, I need to make $200,000 a year to be happy. Do you? Like, maybe you do. Maybe you don't. Maybe your mom just told you that. oh, I need to, have this flashy car. I need to have an Armani wardrobe. Okay, does that bring you joy? Like, does it like actually bring you joy, or is it bringing you status? Is it bringing you other people's approval? And when I, this penis journey for me, at the end of the day, did I want external people to like say, oh, you got a big dick? Yeah, but the biggest reason for me is it brings me joy, right? Like, I like it. I like the experience of playing with it and having it. And so really starting to sit with that question of what do I really want? What really feels organic to me versus layered on by society? And the ways we go about doing that are myriad of different ways. They are meditation, they are journaling, it's making art, telling stories, spending time in nature, spending time in quiet. Like there's a lot of different tools you can use. For me, meditation was a huge part of that, the unraveling. But for other people, it may be that in combination with other things.
Well, that brings us to the end of this episode. You can find me on Twitter at GTV London. Today's guest has been Caelan Strauss. Everything you need is on his website, ecstaticself.com. Stay naked, stay sexy, and we'll see you next time. Bye.